Swami Nikhilanand is a disciple of Jagat Guru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. He resides at Radha Madhav Dham in Austin, Texas, which is the U.S. ashram of Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad. He travels America preaching the philosophy of Sanatan Dharma as taught by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. In this series of lectures, Swami Nikhilanand relates the life history of some of the great saints of Indian history. He also explains important philosophy like what is a saint, how to be a saint, and how a guru helps the souls find God.
Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnur, Gurur Devo Maheshwara. Guru Sakshat Param Brahma Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Dhyan Moolam Gurur Murti Puja Moolam Gurur Padam Mantra Moolam Gurur Vakyam Bhakti Timulam Gurur Kripa. Yo Brahmanam Vidadhati Purvam Yo Vaivedanscha Prahinoti Tasmai Tagvangha Devamatma Buddhi Prakasham Mumukchurvai Sharanamaham Prapadye.
Dear devotees, we'll do a few minutes of Nam Sankirtan, and after that I'll conclude this series on great saints.
Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe, Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe, Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe, Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe, Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda. Radhe 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 Govinda Govinda 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 Radhe
Radhe Radhe Govinda
Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe 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 Govinda Govinda Radhe
Radhe Radhe Govind Govind Radhe 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 Govind Govind Radhe 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 Govind Govind Radhe 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 Govind Govind Radhe 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 Govind Govind Radhe 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 Govind Govind Radhe 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 Govind Govind Radhe 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 Govind Govind Radhe 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 Govind Govind Radhe 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 Govind Govind Radhe 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 Govind Govind Radhe 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 Govind Govind Radhe 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 Govind Radhe Radhe Govind Govind Radhe 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 Govind Govind Radhe
Radhe Radhe Govind Govind Radhe
बोलिए श्रीमत् सद्गुरु सरकार की
जय।
So today is the fifth and final speech in this series on great saints of India, and it also coincides with Guru Purnima. So tonight I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the philosophy of how a saint helps other souls find God. So we talked on the very first day. Excuse me. What is a saint? A saint means someone who is God realized. So an ordinary soul becomes a saint by attaining God. What does guru mean? Guru is not different than a saint. A guru means a saint, meaning a God realized soul, who is actively helping other souls find God. That's a guru. There could be some saints in the world who aren't actively involved with people. Maybe they're here, but they're, you know, in solitude somewhere. So although that saint is qualified to be a guru, but they're not acting as a guru. Some might wonder that this idea of guru, is it something that evolved recently, or how old is this philosophy of Guru? Well, Guru is mentioned in the Vedas. The eternal Vedas of Sanatana Dharma mention Guru in many places.
Yasya deve parabhaktir yatha deve tatha gurau tasya ite kathita hyartha prakashyante mahatmanah. Shvetashvatra Upanishad mentions about Guru. Tad vijnanartham saguru meva bhigachet samit pani shrotriyam brahmanishtham. Mundakopanishad also mentions that if you want to know God, then you need the help of a guru. Kathopanishad also says, Uttishthat jagrat prapyavaran nibodhat. If you want to know God, you need the help of someone who's already done it. So, O souls, wake up, get up, find the association of a God-realized saint and get the real knowledge of how to follow the path to God from that saint and attain God in this life. This is what Kathopanishad is saying. So the idea of Guru is not new. It's as old as the earth is. Now, one thing to understand before the main part I'm going to talk to you about tonight is how does a guru help a soul? And then how do we recognize a guru? But before that, there's a little bit to understand about classes of saints, because every saint is a guru, or could be a guru, is qualified to be a guru. But you only need one guru, and you choose your guru according to your goal. Because different saints have attained God in different ways. For instance, the same one God is described in the Bhagavatam by Vedavyas as having three main forms. Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. He says that there's not three gods, there's one God. One God who eternally exists in three main states. Like water exists in three states. Solid, liquid, vapor. But it's not three different things. It's one single thing that exists in three states. Similarly, God eternally exists as Krishna. We call him Bhagavan. Bhagavatam also says, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. And the same Shri Krishna has an almighty form, Mahavishnu. He's called Paramatma. And the same Shri Krishna has a formless aspect. If almost all of his powers are dormant, then he's formless. We call him Nirakar Brahm, or impersonal God. So God can be attained in any one of these three ways. Jnanis and yogis, they worship formless God. Bhakt, saints have attained the personal form of God, but in his almighty form. In other words, those who worship Vishnu or Shiva or Durga or any of their affiliated almighty powers like Ganesh, Parvati, Kartikeya, Gauri, Kali. These are all almighty forms of God, so they belong in this category of Paramatma. And then we have Swayam Bhagwan, who reveals the ultimate form of the divine bliss, where a soul can actually take part in the Leelas. So Krishna does Leelas as Bhagwan. Radha Krishna do Leelas. As Vishnu or any almighty form, they don't do leelas. You can admire their divine beauty and their divine greatness, but you can't take part in any leela or have any kind of personal interaction with them. So it's a different experience. If a saint worships any almighty form of God, they'll have one type of experience. The bliss they will receive will be unlimited, But the bliss they receive if they get to take part in those leelas of Radha Krishna, although that's also unlimited, but it's unlimitedly more sweet. So it's not more in amount, but somehow it's sweeter. It's like, I've heard it explained like this, that if you're enjoying a good meal, the food tastes good. Now, let's say you're enjoying that meal with a loved one instead of enjoying it alone. There's another aspect added to your meal now. It's not like the food tastes any different, but your meal is more enjoyable. Something sweet has been added. So something like that, getting to have that personal interaction with Krishna, that's something more. So not all saints have attained that. And the saints who attain formless God, they don't, let alone getting interaction with God or leelas, they don't even see God. For them, they don't get the divine vision of God. They don't meet God. They just merge into formless truth. They just think of God as a formless divine existence. So all of God's powers remain dormant in that form, and they don't experience like a bhakt experiences with all five of his senses. He sees God, he can touch God, he can hear God. The jnani saint, he just conceives of his oneness with God and he experiences unlimited peacefulness. So that's a divine state of bliss, which is also unlimited, but it's considered to be lower. Not less, but lower. It's not as enriched as the other ones. So there are different kinds of saints. You've got saints who attained formless God, saints who attained Almighty God, and saints who have attained the divine love form of God. So now, according to the relationship we want with God, we should aspire to find a guru of that class. Because, for instance, if you go to a true saint, and that saint has attained Vishnu, he's a God-realized saint who is enjoying the unlimited divine beauty of Vishnu all the time. And you ask him, I want to join in the leelas of Radha Krishna. Can you show me the path? He'll say, I can show you the path of bhakti. I can teach you bhakti. But if you follow me, I will take you to Vishnu. Now the same principles can be applied to worshipping any form of God, but if you want to reach that form of God, you need the help of such a saint who has reached that form of God. It makes sense. What that saint has attained, he can impart to you. Not just in words, but impart the actual experience. Sometimes people wonder of, you know, the need for a saint. It makes logical sense. If you look at it this way, what have we learned without a teacher? Everything we've learned. We had Dholak class. People are learning Dholak, harmonium, ABCDs, ka kha ga gha. Everything we learned, someone had to show us. So these are just simple material things. We're talking about finding God who's beyond our perception, who's beyond our intellect, who in uncountable lives we haven't succeeded in attaining yet. So why would we want to turn down, if there's someone who has attained God, would we turn down the help of such a person? Just like you want to learn Dholak, and there's an expert, and you say, no, I'd rather do it myself. No, don't tell me anything. In fact, I'm going far away from you. I'm just going to mess around on my own. So we wouldn't think of it. It wouldn't make sense. Yet people wonder, so why do I need a guru to find God? Okay, go find God. You know, where are you going to find God? Even Dhruv was doing that. He said, okay, mother, I'm going to the jungle and I'm going to find Vishnu. Now his desire was sincere to find God. So Vishnu arranged for Naradji to go and give him the teachings. He wasn't on his own, and he accepted Naradji's teachings. He didn't say, I don't need your help. I'm going to the jungle. I'll find Vishnu there. He humbly accepted Naradji's teachings and he followed them, and that's why he succeeded. So a guru is an important part of the path of finding God. And we choose the saint that we would like to help us based upon our goal. And a true saint is not hiding that. Talkers of God, if you listen to them, it may be kind of ambiguous or vague that, so what exactly will I attain if I follow this? You know, he's saying some nice things, but what's the actual goal? There may be some ambiguity, but not in the words of a true saint. A true saint will tell you, this is what I'm teaching, this is where it's going to take you, this is the goal. So that's one of the things I'll mention later on that can help us identify a true saint. How clear does that saint make the goal? Or is that person just a good orator, but isn't really clarifying the target? So we choose that saint who is representing that form of divine bliss that we want to attain. So then it's up to you. What form of God do you want to attain? You choose that class of saint. And then you follow that saint's teachings. Now what does the saint do for us? Keep in mind that the saint we accept as our guide is called our guru. There could be hundreds of saints in the world. But you don't need hundreds of gurus because you can only attain God in one form. So will that saint impart this divine experience to you and another saint will impart another divine experience simultaneously? No. You can only follow, you can only go towards one goal. Now, you may say, well, it's all God. Yes, you're right, but you still have to be specific. Just like if I say, eat some fruit. Will you eat fruit? No. You will say, okay, I'll eat an apple, or I'll eat a banana, or I'll eat a mango. You won't eat fruit. Fruit doesn't even exist. Apples exist. Bananas exist. Mangoes exist. Similarly, God is just a vague word. So if you just say, oh yes, I just want God, so it doesn't matter, I'll follow anybody. What? There's no God. There's Radha Krishna. There's Sitara. God is just a general term. It's an abstract term like fruit. Fruit doesn't exist. Bananas exist. So you have to be specific. So then when you're specific, then you need to follow the precise thing that will take you there. Now, bhakti is the path to attain any form of God. That's true. But it's not just about physically following the path. You are getting graced internally by the guru who imparts the experience both on the path and then the ultimate divine experience. So you literally get what that saint has. So you better be specific. I want that. So you choose that saint. That saint is now called your guru. And although you can change gurus, there's a lot of examples in our history of a soul on the path to God who changed their guru. There's no problem in that. And no true saint would ever object. Would say, oh, that person's going to help you? Good, good. And there are even examples of saints who directed their disciples to go make that person, make that saint your guru. He is teaching the path to what you want. What I'm teaching is something else. But you only need one guru at a time. So the saint you accept as your teacher or your guide is your guru. And then there are three main ways that the saint helps us. One is very obvious. He gives tattva gyan. He gives the knowledge. Who are you? Who is God? What is this world? Where did it come from? Why are we here? What is karma? What is destiny? What is happiness? Where is happiness? All of this philosophy the saint imparts to us through words, through answering our questions. In fact, that's part of the definition of Guru. Grinati jnanam iti guruhu, girati agjnanam iti guruhu, gum rauti iti guruhu. Ved defines the word Guru. The one who gives true knowledge, both the tattva jnan that you receive, like when you're here at Radha Madhav Dham, you receive the philosophical understanding, spiritual knowledge. That's one form of knowledge. And then you practice that knowledge by following the path of bhakti. And in the end, the guru also gives you divine knowledge. So, grinati jnanam iti guruhu. The one who can actually give you divine knowledge is the guru. Girati agjnanam iti guruhu. The one who removes ignorance. So there's two forms of ignorance. There's the ignorance of our not knowing something, meaning we don't correctly understand the spiritual philosophy. So by giving the knowledge, the guru removes our ignorance. And then there's the ultimate ignorance, meaning the bondage of maya, you can say. In the end, the guru removes maya. That maya that's deluded our intellect for uncountable lifetimes, made us forget who we are, made us think we're this body, made us forget about God. In the end, the guru banishes the darkness of maya. So, gum rau ti ti guruhu. The one, gu means darkness, meaning maya. And ru means nikalne wala. The one who removes maya, that is the guru. So the guru literally gives us proper understanding and then in the end also removes that original bondage of maya when the soul, you know, you have to follow the path and then you get your heart purified. Then in the end, the guru eliminates the mayic bondage for that surrendered soul. So giving knowledge is part of it. Helping us to follow the path is the second part. What is sadhana? Sadhana means the path you follow to attain your goal. So you can say part of the knowledge is knowing what your sadhya is. What is my goal? So the other part of the knowledge is going to be sadhana. Now that I know what my goal is, what do I do to attain that? But not only explaining it, practically having us do it. So the saint shows the souls how to follow the path of bhakti, sadhana bhakti. He gives the knowledge and then he says, this is how you apply it. Here are examples of how you can apply it in your life. This is what you have to do on a daily basis. Now follow that. He gives instructions for daily life for how to follow the path of bhakti. And those instructions should be realistic, something a soul can realistically incorporate into their life as it is and receive real benefit. So that's number one and number two. Number three is more hidden, but more important. The saint can also grace us internally. The other two were out in the open, right? Meaning just he's explaining things with words. This is how it is. Okay, this is the path. Do this. Invisibly, the saint uses something we call kripa shakti to grace us in our heart, actually, in our antahkaran. That kripa shakti is not the saint's power. It's God's power. Kripa Shakti is one of Krishna's powers. It's through that Kripa Shakti that a soul becomes a saint. Because a soul eternally bound under maya cannot free itself from the bondage of maya, cannot free itself from all of that uncountable, all of those uncountable past actions that are waiting to fructify. A soul cannot free himself from that bondage either. So it's the Kripa Shakti of Bhagwan that eliminates all the past karmas, the total mayic bondage, That power of divine grace eliminates that. So when a soul becomes a saint, that saint becomes like God, in that the saint is now in possession of that kripa shakti. Brahma vid brahmaiva bhavati. Ved says when you attain God, you become like God. You don't become God because a soul is still a soul. But in many ways you become equal to God because God gives His unlimited divine bliss and His unlimited divine knowledge to the soul. So now, in terms of bliss and knowledge, there's no difference between the soul and God. And how did God impart that? Through His kripa shakti. So the saint received God's divine grace. Now it's like if you have an electrical cable and there's some exposed wire and there's a high voltage of electricity running through that and you touch it. What's going to happen? It actually grabs you. So now you're holding on, you grabbed it and now you can't let go. Jack knows what I'm talking about. So now, if you see someone else who's got a hold of an electric wire and you think, I'll grab a hold of him and try to pull him off, as soon as you touch him, you'll be stuck too. Because now the electricity is going to flow through you. Something like that, the saint has a hold of God. So now all of that divine power is within the saint, fully impregnated his whole being. And now a soul grabs hold of the saint. Now that soul starts to receive that divine grace. It depends on the cleanness of the connection, and the connection happens in here. So to the extent we make that connection to a true saint, in the same amount we're able to receive the saint's grace. It's like the potential is there, the voltage is there. So that power is waiting to flow. All you have to do is make the connection. In other words, there's no delay from the saint's side. The saint is ready and willing to grace any soul. So who receives the grace? The one who makes the connection. That connection is described with different words like surrender, attachment of the mind, faith. It just means that you connect your mind to the saint. It can be as simple as, I believe this person's a saint, I wish I could receive their grace. That's it. That thought means you connected, you made a connection. So then you start receiving something. Now, how is that experienced? Because you can't see grace flowing, and it doesn't literally flow, because grace is omnipresent, it just manifests in your heart as an experience of affinity for Radha Krishna. Affinity means love, affection, a feeling of belonging, a feeling of owning, like this person is mine. I belong to this person. That kind of feeling of relationship that we have in the world with so many people doesn't come naturally with God. And no amount of Rup Dhyan, no amount of Leela Chintan, no amount of Kirtan can make that feeling grow. So you're thinking, well then, why have you been teaching us about Rup Dhyan and Kirtan and all of this bhakti? No, those things are important too, but not alone they can't do it. So you can say there's three ingredients required for really a strong progress. One is Rup Dhyan. You do the meditation. Think of Radha Krishna. Number two, chant their divine name. Now you have those two forces working. The name itself has a power, and when you do Rup Dhyan, that those two work together. And the third ingredient is the Guru's grace. That's like the catalyst in the reaction. When you add the Guru's grace, then what happens? Affinity starts to grow in the heart. And the affinity is felt as a delight in thinking of Radha Krishna. That you really feel happy when you think of them, when you do Rup Dhyan. It's not like a dry practice. Okay, now I'm imagining their crown. Yes, and Krishna's wearing a pitambar. It's not like a dry practice like that. You feel, you really feel that my divine friend, my mother, my father, my beloved is right here in front of me. You feel an excitement. Like when you see someone walking and at a distance you think, oh, it's just a stranger. And then when they get closer, oh, no, it's my son. Oh, you're so excited. That's affinity. So we don't have that naturally for God. It has to be developed. It has to grow. And the way that it grows is by practicing bhakti with the grace of a saint. So the saint does that quietly, invisibly, and at any distance. Suppose that you've heard the instructions of how to practice bhakti according to how a saint has described it, like do rup dhyan, think of Radha Krishna, or think of their leelas and chant their name, and you know that this saint has instructed me to do that, or he's given general instructions, so I'm going to follow these instructions, and I want to, by doing that, I hope to receive the saint's grace as well. That's it. It doesn't matter if the saint is 10,000 miles away. You will receive the saint's grace. In fact, those instructions for doing devotion are imbued with grace already by the saint. So it's very easy to make a connection to a true saint. There's no, although meeting the saint in person can help strengthen that connection so that your mind becomes more attached and you receive more grace. But even that is not absolutely necessary. You can receive a true saint's grace no matter where you are, just by reading a book written by a true saint, watching a speech, watching a video, following the devotional instructions given by that saint. So you see, the path of bhakti and even, you know, accepting a guru is a very simple and a very logical thing. Even surrender is not a scary thing, because you surrender to get your own experience. Now we come to the proof part. How do I know that someone's a real guru? Well, you learned the philosophy from someone and you got the devotional instructions and then you followed it hoping to receive this saint's grace. Then the question becomes, did affinity for Radha Krishna grow in your heart? We call that affinity bhav, by the way. The bhav can even grow to an intensity that makes you feel very like a thrill in your body. Even at some point, a devotee may have tears or trembling in their body because the feeling is so strong. That's the bhav, and that's the manifested grace of a saint or the transmuted grace of a saint. So if you're getting those feelings that could not have come even in 20 years of bhakti without the grace of a saint, you're starting to feel that, that's your proof. What more do you need? It's so easy to recognize a saint. You follow the saint's instructions with a desire to receive their grace and see what happens. Does that internal change happen in you? Then that's your proof that you're receiving the grace of a true saint. There's nothing more required. You don't have to complicate it more than that. Oh, but how is the saint dressed? What does he eat? How does he walk? How does he talk? Analyzing all these external details just will confuse your mind. It doesn't even matter. Would you have thought, for instance, if you had met Sudama after Krishna had graced him with that big, huge palace he was living in? And he said, well, Krishna gave it to me, so I'll live here. Sure, no big deal. Internally, he wasn't attached, but if you had seen the way he was living, and someone had said, he is a great saint, Krishna serves him, you know, you would have thought, what would such a great saint have a need to live in such an opulent, luxurious palace for? I don't think he can be a saint. So it's so easy to go wrong if we just analyze external things like that. Oh, Prahlad? He got God realized when he was 7? But after that, didn't he get married and have kids? And become king? And rule a kingdom and fight wars? So after God realization, what's the need of doing that? No, I don't think he could be a saint. We're like the judge and jury all in one, and we're totally wrong. So it's better not to even consider, if you're serious about receiving the grace of a saint, don't even consider such things, because then other people will take advantage of that stereotype you have, that a saint is supposed to be a sannyasi. Be physically renounced, never mind that the saint is internally renounced. We want physical renunciation. No. You're not allowed to ride in a Lexus. You should have walk in your bare feet. Flip-flops at the most. You know, we have these stereotypes. No, a saint could never wear a suit and tie. A saint should be wearing a dhoti. It could be orange or white. That much freedom will give you, but not more than that. And a saint should be living in a hut, really, not a proper house. And to be married and have children, never mind that 99% of the saints in the history of India, which is recorded in our Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, they were all family people. They're all grihasthis, the gopis, Arjun, Prahlad, Ambarish, Dhruv. 99% were grihasthis, yet we're prepared to say no. Nowadays, according to my understanding, a saint is supposed to be a sannyasi. He cannot be married and have kids. So we're setting ourselves up to be taken advantage of, because those who want to fool us, who aren't saints, what will they do? Grow their hair, grow a beard, put some orange clothes on, memorize some Sanskrit shlokas, and then give some nice flowery talks about God. Andar kuch nahi hai. It's like a gun firing blanks. Makes lots of noise, has no actual power. Like a check, I can write you $1 million check, but I have $0 in my bank account. So what's the value of that check? So a saint has the money in the bank, so he writes real checks. But it's all done internally. So if we're looking at these external things, we'll end up following a person who's just capitalizing on our own stereotype, what we think a saint is supposed to be like, and we'll wrongly interpret the lifestyle of a true saint, and we'll miss out on a chance that we could have received the grace of a real saint. But we said, well, yes, what this saint is saying makes sense. I like how he explains things. And the path he's showing also seems so practical, but then we come in with our reasons. You know, he's dressed like this, or he does. Leave all of that aside. What experience do you get by following that saint's teachings? That's the proof you should be looking for, because that's foolproof. You cannot be fooled if your proof is the internal experience. So that's how you recognize the saint. But of course, that takes time. You have to try out what the saint is teaching and sincerely practice it for some time and then see what benefit you get. And I don't mean for 10 years. You should get, you know, if you're sincerely practicing, you should see some change in yourself in a few weeks, a few months. Something should start happening. So you see, recognizing a saint, receiving the benefit of a saint, it's not very complicated, and it's not very scary either. It's very safe, because you're in control. You follow the path and you see what happens. And then if you like what you're receiving, what will happen is your heart will naturally long for more, so you're becoming more surrendered, you'll receive more grace, you'll get more experience, you'll say, yes, this really is the real thing, I want more. And that takes you right up to God realization. And in the end, the saint eliminates your mayic bondage and reveals the divine vision of Radha Krishna. So the saint does all of this, yet doesn't get any benefit. You see, here at Radha Madhav Dham, anyone is welcome. We teach the philosophy of the Hindu scriptures according to how Jagat Guru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj has explained it. all the philosophy is grounded in the Vedic scriptures. And anyone is welcome to come here. If they accept Sri Maharaji as their guru, if they don't accept Sri Maharaji as their guru, that doesn't matter to Kripaluji Maharaj. He's offering knowledge and he's explaining a path. If we follow that and we get some benefit, that makes him happy. But if someone says, you know, I just like this mandir, I don't want a guru right now, I feel good when I come here, then come. There's no requirement. You know, the ashram is open, the path is open, the knowledge is open, just come and take whatever, however much you can, however much you want. And you should always feel that Kripaluji Maharaj and his preachers and all of us here at Radha Madhav Dham, we're here to share this with you, but there's no requirement from your side that you have to accept X amount of this or else we're going to look at you a certain way. No, you just come and whatever benefit you take. It's great. We're happy to have everyone here. And like I said, Kripaluji Maharaj does not gain or lose anything by us following or not following. He's offering it, so we take the benefit, and if we do get benefit, that does make him happy. So, in other words, the rest is up to us. And as far as finding a guru in the beginning, I told you how to recognize a guru. How do you find, how is that arranged that you would even get to meet a guru? Rup Goswami says, Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangotha Bhajana Kriya. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, you just desire for God. Shraddha means faith and bhook, desire for God. Intensify your desire for God, and God Himself will arrange for a saint to come into your life or for you to meet a saint. He will arrange it. So you just desire and keep praying to Krishna. Please send me someone because I know I can't reach you without the help of someone who's already done it. So please send me a saint. Then sadhu sangha. Krishna will arrange it. We get that association of the saint and we have to do sang. Sang means the attachment of our mind with his mind. Like you do with a doctor. You go to the doctor and you say, this is wrong with me. Please, you tell me, how do I fix it? Or you tell him what the symptoms are and you say, what's the root cause? And please tell me how to fix it. The doctor says, this is it. Here's your prescription. Take this medicine. Take it in that way. So if you follow what the doctor says, what did you do? You joined your mind with the doctor's mind. You said, this doctor knows more than I do. I can't prescribe my own medicine. So I'm just going to surrender to the doctor in this case. See, that surrender word is scary, but we do it all the time. We surrender to the doctor. We surrender to the mechanic who knows how to fix our car. We say, I don't know anything when I look under the hood. Here's the keys. Make it better. So again, in terms of God, what do we know about finding God? So we surrender so easily in the world, yet when the talk of surrender to a saint comes up, we feel so much hesitation. But the surrender is just the same thing, that the saint is saying, okay, this is the way it is. This is your davai. The medicine means the path you have to follow. So follow this path and you'll see the results yourself. That's it. So accepting the teachings of the saint and applying it in your life, that's surrender. What else is there to surrender? If you say, I'm surrendered, but then you don't apply the saint's teachings in your life, then that's not practically surrender. The practical form of surrender is just applying what the saint teaches in your life and then you get the benefit. So even surrender is a logical and very safe thing. There's nothing scary about it in its practical form. So if someone starts following this, sadhu sangaha, we associate with the saint and we start incorporating that saint's teachings, then bhajanakriya bhakti begins at that point. once you've received the instructions from the saint and you start implementing it. So there's a lot more told about saints in our scriptures and a lot more to understand, but actually I would recommend to you that if you'd like to gain a deeper knowledge in this topic, read Prem Ras Siddhant that we have in the bookstore. It's Sri Maharaj's book where he covers all the main topics of Sanatan Dharma. There's a whole chapter on Mahapurush where he quotes from all the different scriptures and explains the very deep philosophy of saint and guru and how to recognize a saint, how to get the benefit from a saint. All of that is described in a lot more detail than what I shared with you tonight. So with that, I'll conclude this series and this talk here on Guru Purnima, and we'll finish with a few minutes of kirtan.
Balihari hai tihari Guru Balihari. 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 Balihari hai, Balihari hai, Balihari hai, Balihari hai tihari Guru Balihari. 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 Om Balihari hai, Balihari hai, Balihari hai, Balihari hai, Tihari Guru Balihari. 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 Guru Balihari. Guru Balihari. Balihari hai, Tihari Guru Balihari. Balihari hai, Tihari Guru Balihari. Balihari hai, Tihari Guru Balihari. Om Balihari hai, Balihari hai, Balihari hai, Balihari hai, Tihari Guru Balihari. Balihari hai, Tihari Guru Balihari. Balihari hai, Tihari Guru Balihari. Balihari hai, Tihari Guru Balihari.
बोलो श्रीमत सद्गुरु सरकार की. We can all stand for the aarti, and anyone who has given their name to do the aarti.